I want to share a reading with you from John Pavlovitz from his book Hope and Other Superpowers. John Pavlovitz is going to be with us in the fall for a weekend, in May, Lauren Fritz is going to be offering a couple of workshop sessions to talk about his work, so I encourage you to be on the lookout for that. Pavlovitz writes, "We all love to see superheroes being born in pages or on screen. There's something magical about those beginnings that moves us. It's thrilling to watch human beings mutating from nondescript, regular schlubs like you and me into the monumental stuff of legend, to see them struggle to comprehend the gravity of the moment, to recognize the responsibility of access to such great powers, and ultimately to run, swing, or fly headlong into their destiny. Over and over again, we line up to breathe in these mythologies because we love the idea of being thrust into stratospheric glory instead of being stuck here on the ground with the rest of the mere mortals and gawking bystanders. We inhabit daily lives that tend to feel decidedly non-super, a repetitive cycle of mundane task and soul-draining busy work made of laundry loads, traffic jams, and dental appointments. And as we get older, it becomes a lot easier to hope vicariously through someone else's story than our own. We gradually lose our ability to dream." And he goes on to say that over time, we experience enough failure and rejection, we hear enough about our flaws and deficiencies, until we finally concede that this is our true identity, that whatever we are now is the best we can hope for. We begin to hear in our heads the voices of our critics and adversaries, of deceased parents, ex-spouses, and former bosses, and we ratify the gaslighter's lie that we are far less than spectacular. This is why embracing your inherent and abiding superness isn't about figuring out how to become anything, but about realizing what you've forgotten about yourself since you were young. The truth you've lost along the way about who you are, what you're made of, and your capacity to be great. And you, too, were designed to live wide open and to dance and sing and dream wildly. You simply need to remember the butt-kicking glory you were made for and to prepare yourself for the ever-present opportunities you have to still be super." The words of John Pavlovitz. The American Trappist monk, Thomas Merton, said that there is in all things a hidden wholeness. The Gospel of Thomas, one of the Gospels that did not make it into the official Bible, teaches that if you bring forth what is within you, what you bring forth will save you. If you do not bring forth what is within you, what you do not bring forth will destroy you. What we don't bring forth will squash our spirits. The world has a way of pulling at us, squashing our spirits, even when we aren't attentive. The world can make us feel constrained, unworthy, insignificant, drained, and divided. It can make us feel out of touch with our hopes and our dreams. It can divide us from who we are. As Ralph Waldo Emerson claimed, "To be yourself in a world that is constantly trying to make you something else is the greatest accomplishment." Now, Emerson lived in a time before all the technology and marketing that often gets blamed, right, for trying to make us into something that we're not. We like to blame modern society for doing this. And those are certainly challenges. Those are certainly challenges. But throughout history, humans have had to struggle to be themselves, to embrace their inherent and abiding superness, as Don Pavlovitz calls it. Ancient and modern people alike face the struggle to bring forth what is within them, as evidenced by those words from the Gospel of Thomas. The struggles are things like other people's opinions, judgments, and expectations, as well as the busyness and the grind of daily life. Too often, other people's opinions can hold a person back. Daily life can wear them down. Failures begin to be seen as defining, and our inherent worth and dignity gets lost along the way. Now, I'm not suggesting to you that the world is not joyful and glorious and that we don't ever dream big dreams. Nor am I suggesting that we never make mistakes and should be self-satisfied. But I suspect that most of us lose track of what it means to be ourselves, at least from time to time. That we lose track of our dreams and our wishes that arise from the deepest and truest part of who we are. And we may not even realize it. We may not realize how far we've strayed into forgetfulness and into the mundane, or how much time we spend seeking outside ourselves, for ourselves, until maybe one day we just notice that we've lost our sparkle, that we're feeling a little lost. And maybe then our first thought is that we need to add something. Right? We need to add something. That'll make it all better. That we have to somehow improve ourselves in order to be whole. That who and what we are is somehow inadequate or unworthy. That what we need is not within us. Not right there within our very grasp. And this reminds me of the story of hidden treasure. Some of you may have heard this story. It's a traditional story. It comes from Eastern Europe. And it's a story about a rabbi, Rabbi Isaac. And Rabbi Isaac lived in a tenement flat in Krakow, in Poland. And he lived in extreme poverty with his wife and his children. And one night he had a dream, and in this dream, he believed this dream came from God. In this dream, he had a vision of gold hidden beneath a bridge in the royal palace in Prague. Well, he tried to dismiss this dream, but then it recurred. And then it recurred. And that dream, he kept dreaming it. And he couldn't ignore it, and so he set off for Prague. And there he found the bridge from his dreams. But it was guarded by sentries, and he couldn't get near it. But he came every day and stayed until evening, walking around. And then finally one day, the chief guard, in a very non-threatening way, asked him what he was doing. And Rabbi Isaac shared his dream with the guard, and the guard laughed. And the guard said to him, "Oh dear, you poor fellow, you poor soul with your worn-out shoes, you've tramped all this way for the sake of a dream? Well, that's what happens when you trust a dream. I can tell you that if I were to trust my dreams, then I'd be on the road as well, because I once had a dream that told me to walk to Krakow and to search out a hovel in the poorest district, belonging to someone called Rabbi Isaac. There I was supposed to search behind the stove, where I could find hidden treasure. Just imagine how I was supposed to find that treasure in a strange town where there must be hundreds of Rabbi Isaacs." Rabbi Isaac bowed graciously to the guard. And you know what he did next, right? He turned and he went home. And there he found the hidden treasure, closer to him than he could ever have imagined, right there where he began. After traveling far in search of hidden treasure, the rabbi returned back home. And so it is that the Gospel of Thomas claims that if you bring forth what is within you, what you bring forth will save you. And sometimes, like the rabbi, we might have to travel around even great distances to be reminded to look right where we are. And sometimes we might have to envision that hidden treasure. In our story of the woodcarver, another wonderful traditional story, that master carver envisioned the bell stand in the tree. The carver envisioned the hidden potential in the tree. But you know, in order for that bell stand to get carved out of that tree, for that hidden potential to be realized, something else had to happen. Some things had to be left behind, including the tree. So bringing forth what is within us isn't only about embracing a vision. It's also sometimes about leaving things behind. It means unbecoming. That's what Albert Schweitzer called it. He said that we need to leave things behind, the parts of ourselves that aren't true to who we are, that are no longer true, or maybe never were true. Ideas, beliefs, habits, attitudes, relationships, old ways of seeing that just get built up over time that need to be released. Albert Schweitzer said, the path of awakening is not about becoming who you are. Rather, it is about unbecoming who you are not. So sometimes we have to untangle from all those layers that have been placed on us that have masked who is our truest nature. Letting go of religious beliefs, I think, is one example that many of us can relate to. Some of us left the church of our childhood, including me. And so I know what it means to unbecome who I was, religiously speaking. I've had to unravel what I do not believe about God, Jesus, heaven and hell, the Bible, sin, and so much more, in order to discover what I do believe. I grew up in a Christian family, attending United Methodist Church. Part of that unbecoming for me was spending my young adult years unchurched, spiritual but not religious, as they call it. That vacuum for me was uncomfortable. It took me many years to find my way to Unitarian Universalism. And then I stumbled into this faith and into ministry. I began to be able to bring forth what was already within me, but had been covered over by layers and layers and layers of what I had been taught and told to believe. And I felt fortunate. My parents and my family were very accepting. My mother, in particular, was very proud of me being a minister. She was always quick to tell people about her daughter, the minister, and her other daughters, the nurses. She was very proud. But my mother also once told me that she wished I were a Christian minister. And that stung a little bit. But I understood what she meant. And I didn't take it as a criticism. I realized that when we love someone, we often want to share with them what we love most. My mother loved her church. And I think that my choice to be Unitarian Universalist must have in some way, some small way, felt like a rejection of the church I grew up in, of the church that she held dear. And it was, in some respects. For me, unbecoming meant leaving behind that church I grew up in so that I could find my inner Unitarian Universalist. And Unitarian Universalism has helped me to be whole, to better integrate the various parts of who I am. It is where my inner self and my outer self are in greatest alignment. You see, to discover our inner wholeness, that hidden potential of ours, is to begin to live a life of integrity. It's to have a consistency between who we are inside and how we present ourselves to the world. It's to live from that still small voice of our own conscience and our own truth. In other words, to be in touch with the inner life, to know who we are from deep inside, is to live an undivided life rather than one in which we are separated from our true selves or one in which we feel we need to conceal part of who we are. And when we embrace our own definition of who we are, we begin to embrace our superness. As John Pavlovitz calls it, we learn to risk our own superness rather than celebrating distant superheroes for theirs. We learn to value and thrust ourselves into our superness and claim our own superpowers. You don't have to be able to scale tall buildings or have super strength, invisibility, or telepathy. That would be really cool. I have to admit, I think, you know, there are a couple of those I'd really like on occasion, right? But to live a life of wholeness doesn't require that we can do any of those things. It requires that we get in touch with our own powers. Whether that's kindness, listening, parenting, grandparenting, singing, dancing, sharing our sense of humor, being creative. What matters is that we embrace that glory we were made for and embrace the ever-present opportunities we have to still be super. When we do that, when we name our own truth from deep within, our truth of belief, of identity, a strange and wonderful thing happens. The bell stand gets crafted. What is the secret? The secret is to allow the work of the Spirit to encounter the hidden potential in the wood, to have a lived encounter with oneself and the other, to create something of beauty. There is in all things, there is in all of us a hidden wholeness. There is in you a hidden wholeness. If you bring forth what is within you, what you bring forth will save you, and it will save the world. May it be so. Amen. And blessed be.
Thank you for joining us this week. If you'd like a copy of the transcript of this sermon, you can find most week's messages at www.uuberks.org/sermons. If you have any thoughts or conversation about today's message, we hope you'll take a moment to stop by our Facebook page and share them. And from all of us at First UU Berks, may this chalice light your path and guide your way until you join us again.